Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We want to talk a little bit this program about those experience all kinds of loss in Louisiana as a result of the floods. I think the worst floods on recorded history are occurring there right now, and so many people are without homes to go to. They're devastated. It's just a devastating situation. I was watching the news this morning, and they were showing pictures and images and videos from Sorrento, Louisiana, and it just the whole town was underwater. I don't think there was a single home that wasn't affected by the floodwaters. And so what do you do in a situation like that? What does faith look like when something like that happens? And as I was asking that question kind of just through the day, you know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 kept coming to mind. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Certainly, in a situation like that, you need your mind to be quietened. You need your heart to be calm, because you're asking all sorts of questions. You know, where am I going to live? What's tomorrow going to look like? What's the next day going to look like? How am I going to eat? You have all of these just basic questions just swirling around in that mind of yours with no real answer, you know, just right in front of you. So you're living just on the edge of anxiety. You have this restlessness inside, and this word for anxiety actually means a disturbance of the mind and a disturbance of the soul, just chaos in there. And so I think faith for those victims looks like people crying out to God for him to give them a sense of peace, that it's going to be okay. And so we certainly extend our prayers to those, you know, that are suffering. But also, I think for us who are on the outside looking in, you know, faith expresses itself in love. And that's not an ushy-gushy feeling. That's actual tangible actions that can benefit people. It's rolling up your sleeves and doing something, acts of kindness that are going to benefit people in ways that they just never dreamed or expected. So faith expresses itself in love. Paul talked about that in the book of Galatians. He said, only one thing matters, and that's this: faith expressing itself in love. James talked about that. I think that's exactly what James was getting at in his letter.
Yes.
You know, faith without works is dead. I mean, if you see somebody in need and you just say, you know, be warm and go on your way, what good is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, they need food, they need clothing, they need shelter. Well, those of us who have the ability to meet those needs, we should do so.
Yes.
Yeah. That's faith expressing itself in love. That's exactly what the Corinthians did, or the Macedonians did, and Paul commended them for that. And he was talking about their generosity to the Corinthians. He said, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." So they saw a need. Mm-hmm. They were giving specifically to meet the need of the saints in Jerusalem. There was a guy that came up from Jerusalem to Antioch, and he prophesied that there was going to be a famine in the land, and that's exactly what happened. It prompted the people in Antioch to take up a collection to help meet the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. And wherever Paul went, he talked about that. When he went into Macedonia, Philippi, they responded. They heard Paul's request, and they responded and pleaded with him, urgently pleaded with him, let us be of service to these people down in Jerusalem. So they gave generously out of their poverty. They rose up and gave generously. That's what people of faith do. Moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the grace of God, moved by the love of God, they reach down into their pockets and they give generously so others can experience their needs being met. And that's how God works. He works through his people. And certainly we have an opportunity to meet some needs of folks down in the Louisiana area. We have a wonderful friend, Frank Friedman, who pastors a church, and I understand that his house was flooded during this situation, so he's one of the victims. Mm-hmm. But the church has set up a way to raise some funds and can be distributed directly to the people who need it the most. All the information about that is on my Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, you can look up me on Facebook, Bob Christopher on Facebook, and you will see how you can give to that particular church to help meet the needs of some of these folks that have just lost everything in this flood. That's faith in action, faith expressing itself in love. So if you are so moved, if you, like the Macedonians, recognize the severe need and want to urgently help, then there is a specific way that you can help. And again, just look me up on Facebook, Bob Christopher on Facebook, and you will find out all the information on how you can give to help meet these needs down in Louisiana.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Well, plenty of open lines, friends. We would love for you to join us on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and as always, we thank you for joining us. 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open right now. We would love for you to come in and express your heart over whatever particular issue you're experiencing, or if you'd like to join the conversation about the issue of the flooding and the loss of life, loss of property in Louisiana. We would love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. And guys, of course, we're also excited to announce the launch of our daily devotional, Hear, Believe, Live. And friends, you can sign up for it at basicgospel.net, and it will be delivered straight to your inbox every morning. Hear, Believe, Live will connect you to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and help you walk in His grace, and it doesn't get any better than His grace. Simply go to basicgospel.net to request yours, and again, that's basicgospel.net. Once again, the phone line, 844-322-2742. From Facebook, a question from David, guys. He says, what does the Bible have to say about blame and guilt? Specifically, when someone you care about shuts you out of their life, when they find out something about your past that hurts them. It is something they would need to know eventually, but I wasn't ready to tell them just yet. That's from David, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, obviously, the information got to them.
Yes.
It was a devastating blow to them. And so there's some damage in the relationship. What happens when a relationship gets damaged? You don't shrink back from it. You move toward it. Mm-hmm. So I think you sit down with that particular person and you say, here's what happened. Here's how it happened. Here's why I've been reluctant to say anything. But now you know, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you sooner. How did finding out this news from a secondary source affect you? How does it damage this relationship that we have one with another? How can we move about and go about repairing this? So the situation's out there. The person is hurt. You withheld some information. Now go and talk to them about that. Tell them how you got help through that problem, how it's been worked together for your good, and then talk about what's going on inside of them. I think that's what they really want to hear from you, is that you have a sense of understanding about their feelings, that you're concerned about their feelings, and that you want to do anything and everything to help assuage those feelings and to restore that relationship.
Yeah. Well, David, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Again, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, friends, that if you would care to record a question for us to play back on the air and answer for you, just go online to basicgospel.net. You can click the radio drop-down menu and then select on-air question. You can also post your question on that same page by writing a text message. But again, that's at basicgospel.net under the radio menu. And, of course, it says ways to contact us here at Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to record your question, and we'll be glad to play it on a later edition, maybe tomorrow, possibly.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, 844-322-2742. Plenty of lines open right now. Question from our friend Jose. He says, when you're in Christ by faith, is he angry if we talk to him at a conversation? He's the only dad I've ever known, Jose says, and I always am afraid that he'll get tired of me and wipe me out. Any verses or suggestions? I'm burned out.
Well, it's time for Jose to start listening to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is teaching him, because if he thinks God is angry, if he thinks God is disappointed or just ready to hammer him in any way, shape, or form, he's not listening to what the Word of God is saying, nor what the Holy Spirit is teaching him. That's worldly stuff. That's fleshly thinking. That's not Spirit-led thinking, because we know that God so loved us that he sent Jesus so that we could have everlasting life. We know that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that it is God's choice to love us. He is choosing to do so. And there is nothing that we can do as human beings to change God's choice. Mm-hmm. If he chooses to do something, guess what? He's going to do something. He has chosen to love us. So there's nothing that we can do to change that choice. We can either rebel against that love and allow our hearts to get hardened against the love of God that is being poured out on us in Christ, or we can respond to that in faith and allow that love to soften our hearts and to embrace us, to pull us in, to draw us in, and be very close with God in our thinking and in our emotions. So, Jose, you're not standing on truth. It's time to shift away from fleshly thinking. It's time to shift away from error and take a stand on the truth of God. Drive your stake right there. Yeah. Put your feet on the solid rock of the fact that God loves you, and he demonstrated that to you through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and absolutely nothing is going to change. So he asked the question about praying to his Father just in a conversation. Well, the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, grants us that privilege. Mm-hmm. God sent his Spirit to take up residence in our hearts, and by that Spirit, we cry out, Daddy, Father. Mm-hmm. So when we pray, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. He's our dad. He's our real dad, spiritual dad, so we can talk to him. That's what this relationship with Christ grants us, and it is an incredible privilege. So talk to him. God is never going to be angry when you talk to him. He's going to hear you, he's going to listen to you, and he's going to respond to you. He's ever attentive to us because he cares for us. He knows what we need even before we ask. Talk about a loving father.
Yeah.
How many fathers out there just don't have a clue? Well, God's not like this. He has a clue even before we have a clue. He is that attentive to who we are and what our needs are.
He's the clue maker.
That's right. So have the conversation and don't feel bad about
yeah.
it. Enjoy it.
Now, both of these questions have one thing in common, that the commonality is truth. In the first case, truth came out in an uncomfortable way. But dealing with it as truth keeps you focused in the present and doesn't cause depression over things that happened in the past. In this case, not paying attention to the truth is causing anxiety and taking us out of the moment. God created us to live in the moment, listening to the Spirit inside of us so that we can walk by faith. It's yeah. the only way to live.
Yeah. Hear, believe, live. That's a pretty good byline, I think.
Well, yes. it's the whole discipleship process, yeah. you know. The gospel engages us in that. you know, if we're having trouble hearing, you know, what the gospel message really is, like so many people do, they can hear in a sermon, they can hear in any, you know, through a radio broadcast like this, that the gospel is all about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And yet when asked what the gospel is, they'll make it all about themselves.
Yeah.
And so they're not really hearing it. But the gospel doesn't let them go. The gospel continues to work until they come to the point and they realize, oh my goodness, it's all about Jesus.
Yes.
Like that Damascus Road experience that Paul had. I mean, the bright light shone and there was Jesus just standing right in front of him, and he had that moment of clarity. It's like, okay, I'm hearing. I've heard what it's all about. And then it's believing. Do you really believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life? And the gospel engages in that, us in that, until we fully come to that point of full persuasion. And then having heard and believed, now we have the opportunity to live it out.
Yeah.
That's what this gospel does. And it alone, the gospel, has the power to engage us in that, to bring us to that point where this good news is actually being lived out in our day-to-day walk.
Absolutely. Not only is Hear, Believe, Live our byline, but we're excited that we have launched our daily devotional by that very same name. And friends, you can sign up for it at basicgospel.net. It will be delivered straight to your inbox every morning and connect you to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and help you walk in his love and grace. All you need to do, as I said, go to basicgospel.net to request yours. Again, basicgospel.net. Hear, Believe, and Live. Well, a question from Pensacola from Roger. He wants to know about Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, which says, "Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Can you explain what Jesus meant here? They did die and did not see this happen. That's from Roger in Pensacola.
It's an interesting question, and it's on the coattails of, you know, I think one of the most important passages in the Word of God, where Jesus asked the most compelling question that's ever been asked, and it was this: "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and answered correctly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, you know, this information didn't come to you through normal conventional means. You didn't study and learn this. This was revealed truth, revealed to you by my heavenly Father. And so Jesus says, upon this rock, upon this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the church is going to be built. So every one of us who are added to the church of Jesus Christ have made that confession. As Paul wrote, the one who confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead is saved and is added to the body of Christ. And then he goes on and he talks about what's going to happen next, that he's going to go to Jerusalem. And Peter rebuked Jesus on that. "No, no, Lord, you're not going to die. We're going to protect you. You can count on us. You can count on me." And Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." So he wasn't seeing that aspect of the story from God's perspective. He was looking at it from man's perspective. So he missed the boat on the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, at least at that moment in time. But then Jesus goes on and he talks about the fact that, you know, that there are going to be some that aren't going to taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, then we go into Matthew 17 and we see the story of the Transfiguration. And I think there's a direct correlation, connection. So what did Peter, James, and John see in that transfiguration?
The glorified Jesus.
And that's what the kingdom is all about, Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in his kingdom.
Yes.
And they heard the words from God the Father that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And that's the way of the kingdom, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. He is front and center. And our job as members, as citizens of this kingdom, is to listen to him and carry out his rule and reign in our day-to-day lives so that it affects us individually, and then it affects those around us as we live out his rule and reign each and every day. So were there people who saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? Yes, they were. Were they of those that he was talking to in Matthew 16? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Peter, James, and John were the ones who saw Jesus transfigured right before their eyes.
Well, we love hearing from our listeners, and as you post questions to us, we hope you're listening and that the answers are beneficial to you. If not, well, we'll try again sometime. So want to remind you once again that you can pose an on-air question by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Click the radio drop-down menu, and you'll find the link right there. You can record your question or submit it to us by text. You can also email us at bob@basicgospel.net. Here's a question from Samuel, guys. He says, I'm a bit baffled as to how legalistic our approach may be when reading the letters of Paul to the church. First, I noticed that Paul says many things for our encouragement in Christ. I find it quite problematic when we read anything Paul wrote and jump to conclusions as if the verse had said, thus saith the Lord. I think it is a form of legalism to believe we're in the wrong unless we do exactly as Paul said. I know the apostles mean well, but are we declaring them to be immune to stumbling even in their words?
Well, when we read the Word of God, and that's really what that question is all about, the authority and reliability of the Word of God. So many Bibles, for example, are red letter editions. And what that means is that the sayings of Jesus, what he spoke, are highlighted in red. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we think those are the only really important words. Those are the true words of God. But as we understand and read the Bible, we recognize that all of the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired by God. So these men that penned in the Old Testament, these men who penned the letters in the New Testament, they weren't just sitting down saying, hey, I want to write a letter to the group in Rome, and here's what I want to say. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit actually gave them the words to write. So when Paul wrote Thessalonians or that sort of thing and delivered it, they received it as the actual Word of God. They didn't receive it as a word from man. They received it as a word from God. And we have lots of evidence just in Jesus' own words that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to bring to remembrance everything that he had said and done, and that's what the apostles brought to us through their letters and writings to us that constitute the New Testament. So we can read the New Testament, and we can read the Old Testament, and we can have confidence that it actually is the Word of God. So when we go into any one of the letters, Paul was the one who penned it, but he was moved by the Holy Spirit. So these are God's words to us through the Apostle Paul, and we can rely on those, we can count on those, and we can put those words into practice. Why? Because those are the very words that connect us to Jesus and teach us how to walk by faith in him. That's the story of these writers. That's what they want to communicate, and that's what they want for us, that life of faith in Jesus. That's what these words encourage us and equip us to do each and every day of our lives.
Yeah. Over lunch, you mentioned that tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about a specific subject. Fill us in on that. You're looking at me with a blank look.
I am.
Put him right on the spot, friends. Okay, well, we'll discover that tomorrow, huh?
Yes, indeed.
All right, very good. Well, once again, we want to remind you that we are indeed excited to announce the launch of our daily devotional, Hear, Believe, and Live. Sign up for it at basicgospel.net, and it will be delivered straight to your inbox each morning. Hear, Believe, and Live will connect you to the love of Jesus Christ and, once again, help you walk in his love and grace. Simply go to basicgospel.net to request your copy, basicgospel.net. We're excited about this launch, and we hope you'll take full advantage of it, friends. Also, remember that you can pose a question to us by recording or by text. If you'll simply go to our website, basicgospel.net, click that radio drop-down menu, and you'll find an on-air question option right there, and you can drop us an email or a text or record your question, and we'll discuss it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. We're out of time for today. We'll be back tomorrow for Bob Richard and the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.